Hello, and welcome to episode 23 of Modern Media Review. I'm Robin Gibson.
And I'm Sean Gulligan.
And this week, John, we're going to be talking about Love Island, which is your choice, and I've had to watch.
Well, I thought it's summer. Are we ready for love, as Elton would say? Or are you ready for love?
I wasn't ready for that Elton John song getting thumped through my head about 20 times now. I can't get it out of my brain now. But anyway, Love Island. I went onto the ITV Hub, which is quite interesting because it says ITV more than television. Remember those pool tables in pubs? I think it was Riley's, and it said more than just a game of pool.
But yeah,
it's
absolutely
not. It is just a game of pool, and likewise, ITV is just television. So I went on the Hub, and the first thing that appalled me was how long the first episode of Love Island was. It was 90 minutes. I mean, I felt like halfway through that was enough. And then I find out it goes on every night for months.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that you'd be made up about that, Robin, that you'd really get into it and fall in love with the romance of the programme.
No, it was absolutely... It is absolutely appalling. I mean, given that we've been researching and reviewing Thatcher and Scargill and Trump for the past few weeks, this was a real culture shock. I mean, at least those people meant something. I mean, where does this thing rank on the scale of vacuousness? It's absolutely appalling.
Well, you say that, Robin, but perhaps there is hidden depth to these people, and they are also flawed characters in the way that some of these politicians are flawed characters. You've been very narrow-minded, Robin.
No, they have been very narrow. Right, firstly, I was absolutely shocked to find out that it's not even on real television, is it? It's on ITV2. It's like a niche channel. It's like The Wire or something, one of these shows that everyone talks about and no one actually watches.
Well, it may surprise you, but Love Island is a huge water cooler programme.
Is it? I mean, I don't want to sound like a snob, but I don't watch these sort of programmes.
Well, these are not your type of people.
Well, no, it's not. Though the problem is, what shocked me the most was how old-fashioned it was, right? I mean, it might as well be hosted by Cilla Black. It's like Blind Date. It's just... It's just guys and girls, isn't it? There's no one gay. There's no one with an odd body shape. There's no one different in any way, you know? I mean, it's just these people. Guy meets girl. I thought they were more innocent than I thought when they were introduced to me.
Well, I think some of them are. Don't forget, this is also a new way to get yourself into the public eye and become a celebrity via reality TV, which I think nowadays is... You don't need to sort of, like, work hard, study over your exams and all the rest of it. Get down the gym and get on a reality TV show, and apparently you don't have to work for the rest of your life.
Yeah, well, this is one of my first misconceptions, really, was that I thought I was going to be looking at some kind of already established sort of beautiful people. But in fact... They're just ordinary people, aren't they? I mean, some of them are on Instagram, it would appear, because one of them said to the other, "I already follow you on Instagram," didn't he? But the girls are girls who've been down the tanning shop, and some of them had those sort of lip fillers put in, and the guys are sort of blokes who go down to the gym, and they're pretty normal, really, aren't they?
Well, I don't know. Michael, the Scouse lad, I mean, how on earth do you get a body like that? I mean, I'm a massive gym bunny, as you know, Robin, and in pretty good shape, even though I say it myself, but I can't get... muscles upon muscles like he's got.
I don't know. I mean, there's an issue here about this body image thing wasn't something that used to be necessary. It didn't really matter what your body, as long as you weren't totally fat, you know, it didn't really matter what your body was like. But now these guys are so ripped, it's unbelievable, and obviously popping steroids, aren't they?
Yeah. But the thing also is that this was what made me laugh. You know Anton, the lad from Airdrie, who we talked about in the last podcast?
Yeah, I'm in Paisley at the moment, and I was talking to some people in the pub last night, none of whom watch this programme.
They say that.
No, they'd no idea about it. I was telling them there was a guy from Airdrie, and they were just laughing. But, you know, people from Paisley need something to make themselves feel better about being from Paisley.
And if you're from Airdrie, you're a step up from that.
Theoretically, yeah. But they were just laughing because I was telling them that this guy's body is improbable. Doesn't go with his voice at all. He's like 26 or something. He owns his own gym company. And one of the girls, when they were asked to pick, she said she hadn't picked him because he shaved his legs. And then
That's
he told
true.
Everyone that he shaved his whole body and his mum shaved his arse.
Yeah,
what the hell's that? Well, these people I was talking to last night said, if he's on that whole gym scene and all that, there are places you can go to have your hair removed from your body. You don't have to get your mum to shave your arse, do you? You can go to a salon and get it done.
This was early doors for Anton, and he made so many crashing errors like that, saying, "My mum shaves my arse," which is not a great one, really, if you're trying to impress some young women. And the other thing was how groomed these guys are these days. I mean, I'm certainly not the demographic for Love Island, but we never went through all this sort of like shaving and preening and primping.
No, it's grim. I was appalled by how conventional they were, you know, Ken and Barbie set up we've got here for older listeners, that is, I suppose. But I also was surprised by how kind of polite they were. It wasn't as raunchy as I thought it was going to be. They seemed quite innocent, and it was a bit touching that some of them did seem to be there to find love or 50 grand.
Yeah. Well, I think some of them. I'll tell you who was very sweet and how he got onto the show, I've no idea, was the Welsh lad, Callum.
Oh, God, yeah. How did he get on there?
I've no idea. Because he can't have watched Love Island at all or known what it was all about. He looked like a massive fish out of water. He was just a genuine nice guy who really had no idea what you have to do to get down the road in this show.
Well, I don't know what you have to do to get down the road.
Well, you have to get a lot of airtime, which means you have to speak, which Anna, who is a more fuller-figured girl, because
she's Kim Kardashian, isn't she? Yeah.
Basically, yeah. And she's got these big sort of like puffed-up lips. So puffed up, in fact, that all you can see is her teeth. She looks like she's been stuck on the sort of like on the window outside the supermarket while her mum's been inside shopping. Do you know what I mean? And the biggest mistake she's made is that it's not just good enough to look good, that you've got to do speaking to get airtime, to get people to start voting for you when you sort of like you're going to go forward in this show.
I understand that. Even at the beginning of it was obvious that a guy like Callum doesn't really fit the bill. But the initial group intake of whatever, I don't know how many people was, I lost count, 8 of them or something, they all seemed quite polite and nice. In fact, I freeze framed it a few times and just to see, because they actually looked quite nervous and they admitted to being nervous, which I wasn't expecting. I thought they'd all be very self-confident. But immediately they started pairing off, coupling up, as they call it. I mean, we have to assume some knowledge here from people, and people I know don't watch this at all, but we're assuming that people do. Then they could start dumping each other immediately in the first half an hour. I thought, no wonder people are killing themselves after they've been in this programme. It's really awful. People were getting immediate rejection before the thing had even started.
There is also a part of it where you want people to find love, but there is also a vicarious part of watching people trying to get off with each other. And that is the sadistic part of me that comes out when I love to see them crashing and burning horribly, because when you used to do it down your local Ritzies, when I was knocking about on the scene, it was bad enough getting, as they would say, pied off by somebody. At least you're not getting about 2 million people laughing up their sleeves watching you do it.
Yeah, but that's what I wrote down. No wonder people kill themselves, because these guys are people nicking your bird before you've even got off with her. It was absolutely appalling, shocking.
And that's the part of the compelling thing about it. Everyone's very nice to each other, to their faces. But the other great thing about this, which I think is a step above Celebrity Big Brother and stuff like this, is that it's a little bit more personal. It's like they're scheming to steal somebody else's boyfriend. Like this new girl that's come in.
Maura.
Yeah, but she's set her eyes on Tommy Fury, who's Tyson's younger brother.
Well, this was what I was going to say, right? The first group of people all seemed relatively innocent and earnest about the whole thing. And then before you'd even caught your breath, he parachuted in these sort of suave kind of semi-professional people, didn't they? Tommy Fury and some guy who's a dancing coach or something, I don't know.
Well, this is where it starts getting a bit incestuous TV-wise, because Curtis is the younger brother of AJ off Strictly.
Yeah, okay, take your word for it.
Yeah, and also there's a very small pool, I think, that the producers fish in, because not only are they all on Instagram and following each other, but they seem to go basically to the same nightclubs in Essex.
Well, they're not all from Essex, but you say it's not like Big Brother. I'd say it turned out to me to look just like Big Brother, because it was obviously we're going to start scheming and plotting and it's really horrible. It's the thing I didn't like about Big Brother. And then nothing even happens, does it? They're so inactive. You get long shots of them getting ready to go to bed and stuff. I mean, it's not interesting, is it? What pyjamas they're going to wear? Who cares what pyjamas they're going to wear?
The glue that holds it all together is Ian Sinclair. And without him, it would be pretty dull watching.
What, is he the regional accent voiceover, yeah?
Yeah, I think he's from Wales.
No, he's Scottish.
I know.
He made some derogatory remark about something like a Scotsman whose six-pack isn't half a dozen cans of Iron Brew. I noticed that. But he's allowed to say that, isn't he? Because he's Scottish himself.
Well, he did come out with a great line. One of the girls is a lash technician. And he said, which is fantastic, he said, because my mates are coming over and we're going on the lash. So I'd like to really ask her, when is the right time to switch to spirits. Good line. But even he has used this as a vehicle, obviously, to promote himself, and he's got a show off the back of this, which...
Wayne promoted himself very well, because I didn't even clock what his name was.
Well, I mean, he has been a bit of a star, and he's very funny. I mean, I don't know if he's like a lot of the comedians now, where he's got a team of 25 scriptwriters writing this stuff. But it sounds very personal to him.
The people who started this sort of ironic voiceover was Come Dine With Me. No one's ever beat that guy.
Yeah, he's very good.
Again, I found the whole thing a bit old-fashioned, because even their lingo, they're not using any... These people are all in their 20s. I mean, one of them said about the other that when he said he was 28, she went...
You're so old.
You're old. Which he is. If you're 21, someone who's 28 seems ancient, don't they? That always is the case. Doesn't change from generation to generation. They don't use any hip lingo. I was expected to hear loads of words and phrases I didn't understand.
One of the things that I've been surprised about, because as you know, I've watched this ever since the Celebrity Love Island years ago, is that this new thing that I call them kids, which shows my age, where they talk about being official or exclusive and all the rest of it. Now, for me, it was like, if you'd got yourself a girl who'd agreed to go down to your local cinema, that was a massive result. And as far as I was concerned, you were boyfriend and girlfriend, do you know what I mean?
Official's not new.
Isn't it?
Official's an old phrase. The only thing I noticed they kept using, most of them kept saying, it is what it is.
This is the catchphrase of the series, I think, isn't it?
But it is what it is. That's an MIA track from 2011 or 2012, you know. It's like saying Wicked or something like that.
Well, I think it was Michael that used it first when he got immediately on the subs bench when they were pairing off in the first episode.
One of them, yeah.
Well, this is it's interesting when you get a group of people, you get group dynamics going on, and they start sharing language and all sorts of stuff like that, which I think is quite, if you want to look at it sociologically, it's quite interesting.
Yeah, but they don't do anything interesting. They're not even...
They did. They went to a spa. They went to a spa the other night, Robin. That was interesting.
Nothing really happens. And they don't talk about anything except each other. That's what I disliked about Big Brother once it got going. I mean, and also, they say their aspiration. What are they aspiring to?
Celebrity.
That's weird because, you know, one guy's a firefighter and another one of the girls is a scientist.
Yeah.
Why are they aspiring to celebrity?
Well, I don't know why Yawande's on there, because she seems like a very quiet, shy person.
It's a word that begins with T, mate. That's why she's on there. It's a word that begins with T and ends in N, and it's got OKE in the middle. There's one of them in South Park as well. At least they have the humour to call him Tolkien.
Well, this was the thing which has happened a couple of times. Sharif, who's been booted off under sort of like mysterious circumstances.
Oh, yeah, why was that? Some guy... For listeners who don't know what the hell we're talking about, some guy has been booted off the show for breaking the rules, but they haven't told you what he broke.
It has broken this morning. Obviously, you're not up to date on your Love Island latest gossip.
Well, it's only 11:53 on Sunday morning, Sean.
That's true, which is early for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was having a play fight with Molly May, apparently, and kicked her in a sensitive area, as the Daily Mail described it. But then made a pretty crass comment about where the kick had landed, described it as a cunt punt.
What, in the Mail?
Yeah, this is what they're saying in the Mail.
Oh dear.
And he said he was treated like a criminal because he was sort of like whisked out of the villa and all this sort of stuff. But the main point I was going to make about Sharif is that it seems like the Love Island dynamic for girls is girls of a certain look, which is mostly blonde and slim and...
Tan shop.
Yeah, tan shop white girls, yeah? And last year there's a black girl, she didn't get picked at the sort of like first standoff, and Sharif didn't get picked either. And there was a lot of stuff going around on Twitter saying it was Love Island's racist, and, you know, they're not picking a decent cross-section of people, basically.
Yeah, it's like Jules Holland's show, isn't it?
Okay.
As it was before he was forced to put some black artists on it.
Or MTV, possibly. Like all these things, Love Island has developed, and it's now also itself becoming a vehicle for punting out merchandise. I mean...
Well, I had a look at the bit. It's all a bit sad. I had a look at the merchandise. Anyway, how does that relate to Yawande?
Oh, I just thought that she was not the profile of person I'd have on there. Mostly, I mean, the idea is you are looking for love, but mostly it should be Fame Island, really.
Yes.
Brackets love.
Brackets 50k. Anyway, I had a look at the merchandise, and it's all a bit... I've sort of swayed between derision and feeling a bit sorry for the whole lot of them, because even the merchandise is rubbish. It's like these tinny little suitcases with your name on it that only cost £55. It's not exactly top range stuff. I noticed I was in the Paisley Town Centre yesterday and they had a big motor show on with old Hillman Imps and things like that.
Cool.
You know, the motor heritage of the area. And then I walked into the mall after I'd been looking at the cars and they had a huge ad for Love Island merch. And I thought, yeah, it reminds me of that era, but the Hillman Imp era. It just seems so, I hate to go on, but it seems so old-fashioned. It's not like, say, The Circle, that brilliant series on Channel 4 last year, where you got a load of different types of people. I mean, obviously the gimmick there was they were all online and they couldn't see each other. But even so, that was modern, you know, that was an excellent exposition of how modern dating and modern relationships go. This is just so old-fashioned.
Except that it does have the Tinder aspect to it, in that, you know, when they're pairing off, it's very much swiping, isn't it? On looks and all the rest of it.
There was a great quote from that guy. Yeah, and this is relevant to what you said. A great quote from that guy, Tommy Fury, when he'd sort of been joined up with this young Molly May person, right?
Yeah, who was the queen bee of the villa before Maura came in.
Well, he was sort of complaining that she hadn't cleaved to him enough, I think, and he said, I've given my heart to that girl for the past 6 days.
Yeah, I love all that sort of stuff. It's absolutely brilliant.
I felt a bit sorry for her in the end, though.
Did you?
Yeah, and also she's got a weird-shaped head, and they need some stylus in there, because her hair piled up on top doesn't help. Someone needs to tell her to let it down. She looks a bit like a pinhead.
Okay, Robin, well, I think that you should email the Love Island producers and offer your services as a stylist.
Oh, I'm amazed if they don't have stylists. I mean, and that bloke's trousers, the white trousers, Jesus, what's going on there?
What's that?
Anton's white jeans, they look like they've been sprayed onto him.
Well, because he's a bit of a bodybuilder, he's got really sort of like prominent calves, hasn't he? Which looks really weird in those skinny jeans. And also, I've got a problem with skinny jeans, because I think you've got to be between 14 and 17 to get away with wearing them. And you should be a really skinny person to wear skinny jeans, not a pumped up sort of like gym bloke. You look like a Michelin man who's been sprayed, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, the things have changed since the 70s. I mean, these kids don't want to look like Keith Richards or Johnny Thunders, do they? It's all about looking too healthy, if you ask me.
I just can't get over this male grooming thing. It's so incredibly sort of...
Well, you better get over it, mate, because you're not going to start doing it, are you?
But they're all into it. And the other thing that I've noticed, they all wear certain ranges of clothes, which clothing manufacturers, like Instagram, where you get these influencers, yeah?
Mm.
So what they're basically doing is when they're putting up the latest string of shots in them in a bikini or some dress or clothes or jeans for the guys and blah, 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 is they're punting stuff out. And remember, there was this problem with advertising, not undercover advertising, but people would look at it and go out and buy it and not realise that they were being directed to this without them really knowing it. And Love Island have got people in providing clothes and styles for these people to wear. So there's a bit of a link up between big business and Love Island and finding love. So there's that little juxtaposition where...
You mean you find love if you wear the clothes?
Basically, yes. So if you wear the same clothes as Molly May or Maura or Anton, obviously those white jeans are going to go off the shelves. They'll be flying off the shelves, mate, or Amazon won't be able to keep up with it. Everyone, I imagine, would like to look like Anton.
Do they? I can't imagine anyone would want to look like that.
I'm warming to Anton, actually. I really like him, because after his sort of like crashing intro where he showed that, obviously, in Airdrie, all he needed was just to take off his shirt and the girls would flock to him, is that when he decided he had to actually talk, I mean, he was struggling massively, obviously giving away.
They didn't like his voice, did they?
No, or his shaved legs. But he's now, I've warmed to him quite a lot, and I find him very funny.
I've not really warmed to anyone, to be honest.
So what you're saying, Robin, is that you're not going to be watching Love Island after this podcast is over?
No, I'm going to dip in and out of it to see what happens. I couldn't believe it went on for 8 weeks. I was like, good grief.
Well, the other thing that I found quite interesting, because, you know, I wouldn't like to give away anything about myself, but they do these competitions just to relieve the boredom for these kids, because it must be pretty grim being stuck in a, like, solitary confinement with other people.
Yeah.
For a couple of months.
Very interesting.
Well, they were doing all these sort of like messages that they'd sent, or, you know, things that you've done. And it usually gets a bit saucy and a bit sexual. And there were people coming out with stuff.
It's pretty mild, isn't it? Jeez, it's pretty mild stuff.
It is, but I'm telling you, there's no way that I would ever basically say some of the things that these people had said. Oh, I've had threesomes and all that sort of stuff. I'd keep that very much to myself, even if I had done.
They've got to say things like that, though, haven't they?
And the other weird thing was Amy, who's cabin crew for some air.
Ah, well, actually, I was going to mention this. Again, so old-fashioned, because she came on. She's from Worthing, isn't she? And she, I wrote this down. She introduced herself, and a voiceover repeated it, as an air hostess. But that's from the 70s. It's flight attendant to you, you know, not air hostess.
Cabin crew,
and mate. She said she wants to find her own Prince Charming. They came on, they were wearing high heels and swimsuits. I mean, that's straight out of Miss World, isn't it? Where that sort of thing's been banned from mainstream TV for being absolutely archaic.
Well, maybe we're getting all this old TV back through the back door by being slightly ironic and a bit sort of like a social experiment.
There's nothing slightly ironic about it.
No, it's pretty...
If there is, it's unintentional. And I've got to say, like, a couple of nights ago, there was an appalling scene where I thought, again, no wonder these people come out of this damaged. These new people had come in, and for some reason, the guys were cooking dinner for the girls, right? The new girls. And all the other girls were gathered on the balcony. And I thought, they're all getting upset. And they were kind of jeering over the balcony, weren't they? And it was all very...
Playground.
Grim. It was grim, though.
Playground bullying, wasn't it? But
exactly,
amazing...
bullying, yeah.
Well, the funny thing was, and I do love this about banter, is that you can basically say, I really hate you, and you're a complete tosser, and if I had a chance, I'd strangle you, basically. But it's only bants. It's bants, yeah? So, yeah, they would be massively catty to each other, all of them, you know. But then when they all sat down together, it's all like air kissing and, oh, hun, oh, babe, you know, you're so fantastic and all this. I love that two-faced aspect to this show, where you can see what they're all thinking about each other.
They're still quite shy. I mean, they are humans.
Yeah.
I think this is a problem because the programme tries to dehumanise them, but they are just humans in the end, aren't they?
Well, I mean, I guess that they won't be able to sort of like appeal to the Court of Human Rights after we leave Europe and complain about how they were tortured in the Love Island thing, you know? I think they are storing up trouble because when you have people in these very emotional, highly charged atmosphere, is it any surprise that when they come out into this maelstrom of media, which none of them will have been used to, they are going to fall apart and find it very difficult. So you do feel a little bit sorry for what's coming down the road for them.
Yeah, especially if they're not that clever. There was a great... I think during this palaver with Molly May and Maura and Tommy Fury, she was sort of going on about him being a bit of a dick. And she just said this great thing. When someone had suggested that Tommy was being a bit devious, she just went, he's not clever like that. And I thought, she's got it sus. She obviously is clever.
I've got not much sympathy for Molly because when she was Queen Bee of the Villa and she had three guys desperately chasing after her, she wasn't kicking off then, was she?
No, I just thought she was quite perceptive, seeing that someone wasn't clever like that. I like the way she said like that, which she meant by which she meant just slightly clever.
Well, you say that, but Ioannidis a scientist, and Michael, even though he's a firefighter, wasn't he a marine biologist or something?
Yeah, something like that. Molecular science or something like that. Intelligence isn't the same as being clever, if you know what I mean. So, anyway, Sean, how do you actually win this thing?
Well, eventually, what happens in between, before we get to the grand final, which I think you, off the top of my head, you have four couples in. They will decide amongst themselves, really, who gets chucked off when they recouple. You have this recoupling where you can change your current partner and pick somebody else.
Nice.
Which is where Molly May is obviously shitting herself because Maura may be picked by Tommy or vice versa. I don't know which way it's going to work out. But at the end, the public vote on it.
I see. Because there's a brilliant... I don't really need to keep watching it because there's a brilliant Wikipedia page for it where it tells you everything that's going on, who's still in it, what day they came into the series and what day... Well, actually, it says here, Callum is already out.
Yes.
Dumped. So what does that mean?
Yeah, he's gone. He won't be featuring.
Well, how was he dumped?
He didn't get picked.
So he was an odd one out.
Yeah, so there were two guys for one girl and she picked... Oh, God, who did she pick?
Who was it? Who was the girl?
I'm just trying to remember, actually. Caught me on the hop.
Oh, you're a real fan of this, aren't you?
I think it...
Amber.
Amber. I think it was Amber who picked Michael.
Yeah, because there's a timeline here as well, and it shows you who's coupled up with who. No one's been faithful except Anna to Sharif, and then he got booted out, didn't he?
I think Curtis... Hasn't Curtis and Amy been...
Actually, some of them have stuck together.
Because they're the current favourites, if you like betting on this sort of stuff, is Amy and Curtis to win the whole thing. Oh, yeah. They're 7-4 currently. But I think they're going to massively run out of steam, those pair, because they're so...
I think the whole thing's going to massively run out of steam, mate.
I don't know how you could say it. It's compelling, man. Last year was fantastic because not only did we have the World Cup, but we also had Love Island, and it was like, could it get any better than this?
I was somewhat disappointed, Sean, when you texted me about this, one of the episodes been on, and I thought, what are you doing? I was watching the Women's World Cup. Now that's really society moving forward, isn't it?
Well, 6 million viewers, can't be wrong.
Well, they can. They said that about Love Thy Neighbour.
No, that was for the England-Scotland game.
Yeah, exactly, but you weren't even watching it. You usually watch football.
Well, you know, it's women's football, Robin, so does that count?
It does nowadays, although they might not know it in Love Island.
I've watched quite a few games from the Women's World Cup.
Okay. I see that you can also win tickets to be at the final, but what
are you going
to
go for that?
Well, I might do, but what actually happens?
Well, you basically have Caroline Flack comes back. That's the easiest gig in the world. Caroline Flack is the presenter for this. And she's the presenter who never presents. She seems to pitch up about once a week for about 5 minutes and then goes clubbing in Ibiza, obviously next door island. So that's a nice gig if you can get it. So yeah, basically you get four couples and you go through their best moments, and then they do this sort of like public vote where, you know, they'll go 4-3-2-1.
Yeah, but if you're at the final, what happens?
Well, you sit in the villa in the garden and you get to watch the beautiful people that you followed through the summer.
We wouldn't be allowed. It would be like that, you know, the Super Bowl where they don't allow older people to go down to the front for the halftime show.
Yeah, I'm sure they would. As I say, I don't think you and me would be the demographic for it. It would be slightly looked upon suspiciously if we were hanging around in the background.
They'd probably think we were coppers or, you know, worse. Anyway, that's enough Love Island.
Okay.
Well, really, come on.
That's fair.
I can't wait till the Circle comes back and we get some modern shaped people around, you know?
Well, we loved the Circle last year. Didn't we do that as a pilot?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, it was brilliant. Not the pilot, the programme. It's coming back anyway. And we'll be coming back next week. But before we go, a few plugs. You can listen to the podcast on YouTube. You can subscribe on YouTube, which would be good. You can listen to them on the website, which is modernmediareview.com. And we're on Spotify and iTunes. All over the place, really.
Aye, get listening.
And as far as today goes, thanks very much for listening. And I really hope you enjoy Love Island and that we've pushed you towards it. I'm sure the viewing figures will go up after this, John.
Undoubtedly.
Thanks a lot. And we'll be back soon, possibly with a 100% voice.
Cheers.
Cheers. Bye for now.